We have an unusual opportunity this morning. Just a couple of words of hakdama I would like to say. The world is very transient. It keeps moving. So when I came to Beis Medrash, the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, in my mind was old man. I came in the end of his, it wasn't the end of his life, but he already had decades of, he was Rosh Yeshiva ready for 40 years. So my entire life in yeshiva was about 15 years. The Rosh Yeshiva was the Rosh Yeshiva for all those years. Your rebbeim that you have in the high school probably is a mixture. Some rebbeim were there for longer stretches with Rosh Yeshiva, and some rebbeim admittedly will tell you that they had limited access to Rosh Yeshiva, but they all had access to Rosh Yeshiva. Some access. The next rebbeim that we hire, Bez Hashem, the yeshiva will continue to grow. Not necessarily from one yeshiva, but it's a different tekufa. And the Rosh Yeshiva in Queens now have the unenviable task to have to continue a Mesorah, because that's what we believe, that Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, Mesorah LeYeshua. We're trying to receive the Torah, the same Torah that was given on Har Sinai. So when we have opportunity to speak to the Gedolei Yisrael, it isn't just a good, inspiring speech, or shmooze, however you want to call it. It's more than that. We're not just here in school today, even though that's what everybody woke up in the morning says, another day of school. But there's much more to school when you're going to yeshiva. And the rebbeim view it is that each day, it takes a lot of days to receive a Mesorah. It isn't as easy as a long pass, 40-yard pass, that you just catch it. If it were that easy, believe me, we would just keep throwing more passes, but it's a lot of days. A lot of days of working. Some days you drop the pass, but many days you catch it. And over many years, a person's able to receive a Mesorah. Baruch Hashem, we have many people to help us receive the Mesorah, but that's what today is about. So I would like to introduce the Rosh Yeshiva now, who has on his shoulders hundreds and hundreds of Talmidim in Queens. And I can tell you personally, the many calls he gets, not just from us here in Miami, from all around the globe. He takes those calls all day long. Maybe we block out like an hour and 20 minutes for a shiur, but otherwise we bother him. He doesn't view it that way, with many, many shailas. And a lot of the shailas affect our day-to-day running here. So I would like to just focus everyone to be able to a little extra focus today to receive the Mesorah. I introduce the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Grunberg.
First of all, it's a pleasure to be here. As you probably know, I was here in Florida for a number of years. That's before Torah Chaim was in this building, although we did have the Torah Semes building already in my day. And it's a certain nachas that I get when I come back and I visit and I see the progress and the growth that Baruch Hashem the Yeshiva has had. In last week's parsha, there's a little short memra in the Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Nun Gimel Os Yudalit, that set the stage a little bit. Hagar and Yishmael were told to leave the house of Avraham Avinu, and they went out into the Midbar. They ran out of water, and Yishmael was on the verge of death. So much so that Hagar said she wanted to move a distance away so she shouldn't see him die. It was life and death. And then they davened, the Kadosh Baruch Hu listened to the tefillah, primarily of Yishmael, and it says, Vayivkach es Eina, opened up her eyes, and it says, Hakol b'ches kasumin, everyone is blind, Atcha Kadosh Baruch Hu me'eres Eineihem, and she sees the well. And then it says, Vatelech v'tamaleh es hachemes, she went and she filled up her water pitcher, whatever it was. Hada Amrit, this tells us, Mechuseres emana haya. She lacked emuna. The Mefarshim say that what she did was foolish. Yishmael's dying. I don't know if you have any friends or relatives who are in Hatzalah. The first thing they tell you in Hatzalah is in a true emergency, every second counts. She should have grabbed a cup of water. She was a mill, a nice distance away from Yishmael. She should have ran to Yishmael, give him the water, make sure that he lives, then go back and fill up to Chemes. Why didn't she do that? She was afraid it would be gone when she got back. And she didn't have a munna that Kadosh Baruch was going to help her. The Rosh Hashiva Zatzal pointed out that she had just talked to a malach. She just witnessed a miracle. And at that very moment, she still didn't have emunah. Because emunah is totally on our bechira, our choice. We think if we saw miracles, if we had the vim, we'd all have emunah. Not so. It's up to you. And she didn't work on herself. She didn't grow to that level. She didn't have emunah. But I want to add another observation. Okay, she didn't have emunah. But do what's best for your child. What was the most important thing in Hagar's life at that moment? The most important thing in Hagar's life was to save Yishmael. Why are you risking his life? Go, run, bring him the water, and if there's no water, you come back, you figure it out. You're going to let him die because you don't know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the well back? Right, you never know when you're going to have water. It doesn't make sense. It's against your own best interests. And we see a very, very important yesod. And it has many applications in life. When a person is not grounded in Torah and Emunah and Midas Tovos, it's not only that you won't do mitzvahs. It's not only that you might do averus. You won't approach life with seichel. You'll harm your own interests. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter explains how the emotions of a person are very narrow focused. They're very short-sighted. They don't see the whole picture. Only the seichel sees the whole picture. So she sees this empty chemes, and there's a well, and I don't know if it's going to be here, and I'm going to have to fill it up. Look at the whole picture. Your son's dying. What are you doing? People make such foolish decisions in life because they lack emunah. They lack bitachon, and they panic, and they're afraid. And the emotions creep in. And you do something that's harmful to yourself. Forget emunah. Do what's good for you. You can't, because the emotions run wild. You need the Torah and you need the Emunah to control that. And here, Hagar goes ahead and acts counter to her own best interest, risking her son's life because she lacked Emunah. It's not just Emunah. It applies to Midos as well. This is in Parshas Balak, Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Chav, Pasuk Zayin. So what happened? Balak feels threatened. He's afraid that Klal Yisrael is going to invade and wipe him out. They just destroyed Sichon and Og. Sichon and Og were the most powerful kings in the area. In fact, not that long beforehand, there was a battle between Sichon and Og and Moab. And Sichon and Og won, and they captured a lot of territory from Moab. So Balak knew, I couldn't defeat Sichon, I couldn't defeat Og, and Klal Yisrael wiped it out like nothing. Imagine what they're going to do to us. So they had... It was a life and death situation. They had no choice. So they decided to send for Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael. Bilam won't go. But Bilam didn't tell them the real reason why he didn't go. He made it seem as if... He said, Hashem didn't let me go with you, with these guys. You didn't send Chashav Shluchim. So he sent more Chashav Shluchim. He promised him all kinds of money. Chabera Chabetcha. And Bilam said, you gave me your whole house full of gold and silver, I still wouldn't violate the words. And what was he saying? I deserve your whole house of gold and silver. And don't think that Bilam didn't get the message. He was a smart man. So here you have a guy, Bilam. He's your last hope. As far as you're concerned, your kingdom is going to be wiped out. You'll probably be killed. And even if you're not killed, you'll lose your whole melucha. So you need Bilam. So you promise him everything. You promise him money, you promise him kavod, you promise him, because you need Bilam. It's life and death. So what happens? Says the Medrash, Vayizbach Balak Bakar Vitzon, he shechted Bakar Vitzon for Bilam, had tzadikim omri ma'at v'osam harbe. Tzadikim say a little, but they do a lot. Kavram should never veka pas lechem. I'll give you a little bit of bread. Vakach ma'ari shoshit kemach soles el a bakar. He served him a whole banquet. Rishayim, but Rishayim like Balak, omrim harbe. They say a lot, but if you don't mind, you know, they don't even do a little. Balak omer ki chabeda chabedcha me'od. I'll give you great honor. Ukeshaba when he came lo shigalo el a bakar b'tzon achas. One for the whole entourage. They got one. One cow and one sheep. Hiskel Bilam Chorek Shina. Bilam began to grind his teeth. He was so angry. Shaya Nafsha Rechav, because he wanted a lot. He was a big Baltaiva. Amar, he said, Kach Shalavli, that's what he's sending to me. Machan is Osan Meir Bilchas, I'll get back at him. What did he say? He said, build me 7 Mizbechas. So the Mefarshim explained, he didn't need 7 Mizbechas, he only needed 1. He told him to build 7, so he should have to bring a carbon in every one and cost Balak all that extra money. You didn't do anything for me, I'm going to make a cost. Okay. What happened here? The Mefarshim have different explanations. One aspect is he only sent 1 instead of a lot because he was stingy. Why do I need to send him so many sheep and cattle? Another explanation, and maybe they both work together, was he sent it through a shliach. It's much more covered if the king comes out himself. Balak said, I'm a king. Why should I go out to greet him? He should come to me. I'll send my shluchim. So two things. Money and covered. So what did he do? He risked losing Bilam. Bilam got very angry. The reason why Bilam didn't leave, by the way, is because Bilam wanted to curse the Jews. So even though he was very upset about the money, about the covenant, he didn't abandon the mission because he really wanted to do it. But Balak didn't know that. In fact, the Medrash goes through all kinds of things that Balak did to try to persuade Bilam that he should curse them. And that was an appropriate thing to do. So Balak didn't know for sure that Bilam wanted to do this. So I ask you a question. How much does it cost you to send, I don't know, 12 cows and 12 sheep? Do you know how much you're going to lose if Bilam doesn't come through? As far as you're concerned, they didn't know that Klal Yisrael wasn't going to attack him. As far as you're concerned, Klal Yisrael's going to attack you, wipe you out. All the millions of dollars you have will be gone. You yourself might even get killed. Otherwise, you just run away in total shame and humiliation. So spend a few bucks. You shouldn't be mechaber. The king has to go, okay, you stand on ceremony. You're not going to be much of a king and your whole kingdom is wiped out. Where's your covenant going to be then? So you pardon me, but this is so stupid. How could a person be so blind? Why is he doing this? It's the same story. If you allow your midos raos, your emotions to take hold of you, you become short-sighted. All I can see now is I'm wasting, you know, a few $100 by sending these extra sheep, extra cattle. Yeah, but you could lose millions of dollars if you don't do it. Boy, I should do it. It's in front of you. Don't see anything else. You become blinded. It's the nature of midos raos, emotions. Covet, I have to go out to him. A lot of covet you're going to have when you run away from the battle, if you survive at all. When you run away from the battlefield, your whole kingdom is wiped out. What kind of covet do you think you're going to get then? But that's how it works. And that's why it's so important. And the truth of the matter is, it's an interesting thing because, and many people have pointed this out, if you talk to secular chachamim, who are wise people, many of the concepts that we talk about in the Torah, they believe in also. Maybe they don't keep it, but they hold of it. And they'll talk about good midos, and they'll talk about things like that. But they don't have the same view. Without the Mesorah, without Torah, it's interesting, you know, the Mepharshim say, you know, Rabbi Palgan alluded to Moshe Kibbutz Torah, Messina, Mesorah, Yeshua, Shiz, okay, where's that Mishnah? Pirkei Avos, right? First mission, Pirkei Avos. What does Pirkei Avos primarily talk about? Midos, Ben Al-Haber. Why is it there? Why isn't it the first mission in Shas? Moshe Tiv goes, Amos HaKoros, Kriyish Ma'a B'Shachros. So the answer is because everyone knows the mitzvahs, Ben Al-Makom, and this, we realize Moshe Tiv comes from Masara. They don't realize that Midos also comes from Masara. And the view that the world has is relatively superficial. Yeah, they understand a person shouldn't be stingy, a person shouldn't be caught in the covet, but they don't understand how blind you become. They don't know what it does to you. That we learn from the Torah. And we see from here, and Balak was a smart person, and he was a king. You know, he probably was a pretty competent individual. And he couldn't be a king. You know, he didn't inherit the melucha, he took it over. He must have had something on the ball. You know, you don't become a king and run a country like that without being pretty smart and pretty competent. But it doesn't mean that he can't be blinded in a silly way. Imagine that. He could have said, I don't know how much a sheep cost. 10 sheep, 20 sheep, 10. He could have come out himself, made a whole big thing. What's the big deal? Your whole kingdom's at stake. Didn't see it. Hagar loves her son Yishmael, davening, crying her heart out. Knows he's in Sakana. Oh, I have to fill up the chemis. I don't know, maybe it won't be here when I come back. Yeah, okay, you fill up the chemis, maybe he'll be dead when you get there. So what are you doing? That's the blindness. So I'm sure... Everyone who's here already understands the importance of working on your emunah and your bitachon and the importance of working on your midos, generosity and anava, lack of kavod. But I don't know if we understand how much, how far it goes. Not just in order to be able to do things right, klapi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even to do things right, klapi ourselves. Even to take care of ourselves in the best way, we need that. We need the emunah and bitachon. We need the midos tavos. Bez Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall help you all to grow in all these areas, in your learning, your Torah, and your Musar, your Midos, Emunah, Bitachon, and everything else. And with that, you'll have the Siyata Deshmaya and the wisdom and the insight to do exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of you, and more than that, to live your life in the best, most productive, most efficient, most appropriate, and most effective way that you can.